Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2023. Man, that surprises me when I see those numbers, you know. I'm still thinking 1987, you know. And, you know, I still remember 1987, you know. I was in high school then, just getting out of the high school. A lot of things changed for me then that year. You know, I left high school, graduated there, went to boot camp at Fort Benning, Georgia. That was a big change, you know. A lot of things that year changed for me, and I remember that. It was a good year, though. But, you know, things changed throughout the years, and this year, I mean, this morning we look at the end of 2022 as we gathered together last night to kind of just fellowship together, and we move towards 2023 now, and we're starting off a new year. And so I know a lot of you have already made your New Year's resolutions. And you're going to do something this year that you promised you would do this year, right? Just like you did last year. And I know most everybody that made their resolution last year kept that promise, right? You met your goal, you know. We always do that. We make these promises at the end of the year. And a lot of times we do that when we come to God. We come to Him and we say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do better. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to do it more because I know that it's what would benefit me, and because that's what we do. But then it seems like we do good for a short time, and then we start doing less and less and less. And next thing you know, we're making that same promise again. We're saying, Lord, I'm going to do better. And every year we tend to do that, you know. This year, you know, individually, and we've seen many struggles this year. A lot of things have happened over the last year, but we know without a shadow of a doubt that God can change circumstances and make the new year better than the last year, right? And that's the way I preach that quite often. I say that I want us to leave when we come to church, when we come before God. I want us to be better than what we were before, right? Today, when we leave here, I want us to be better than when we came, because God has done something. You know, it's not about what I do. It's about what God does through me, right? And so when we say Happy New Year to somebody, we're inviting a new year to be better. That's what I say. When I say Happy New Year, I'm saying I want your life to be better from here on than it was behind you. And I'm not saying that everybody had a bad year, because, I mean, some people have had a good year. You know, it's been good. Not all things are bad. Not all things are doom and gloom. And I don't want us to always focus on those things or feel like we need to focus on those things. I mean, we have to pay attention, and we see what goes on around us, and we've had loss of loved ones, and we've had illnesses and sicknesses and all those things, and those can kind of bring you down and make you feel down in the dumps. But let me tell you, God doesn't want us to feel that way. And I remember the scripture where Joshua, you know, they had gotten defeated at Ai after just coming off a great victory. They go to Ai, this other city, and they just get wiped out. I mean, they just lose miserably. And Joshua comes back and he falls on his face and he says, you know, he's praying, God, what in the world just happened? And he's on his face and God said, get up off your face. Get up off the ground, you know. I got more for you to do. Don't just lay there in the dirt and wallow in your sorrow. You know, so that's not really at all what I'm preaching about this morning, but you know, I just want us to understand that, you know, it's not about the doom and gloom of this world that we live in. This new year coming up, we can look back and say all kinds of things. We could look back and say, I wished I'd have done something different. But, you know, we can look to the future, and we should always be looking forward. That's what I want to say to you this morning. We need to always be looking forward, because we can't change the past, right? We can't change the past. We can't take back words that we said. We can't. There's no do-overs. I wish there were, you know, but life would be way too long if we had do-overs for some of us, because we'd be doing things over so you know, we have too many things to do over, is what I'm trying to say, you know. And I'm glad we don't live 900 years. Amen?
Amen.
That's a long time to get to heaven.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know about you, but honestly, I'm looking forward to heaven.
Amen.
You know, I don't want that to sound like I'm ready for death, but I'm looking forward to a better place. I'm looking forward to my eternal home. Amen? I know when we're on vacation, we enjoy ourselves while we're on vacation sometimes. Sometimes it's like, why did I even come? I mean, we need to just go back home now. But, you know, we are strange. We are aliens. We are on vacation here. That's not our home. Our home is in heaven. And while we're here, we're just here, right? But while we're here, we got a purpose. We got things we need to do. We got to share the gospel with everyone we meet because we want everybody to enjoy heaven. We want everybody to go home. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense, or am I just rambling on this morning? Thank you, Teddy. Teddy's always my support. You know, the pessimist says that the pessimist stays up to make sure that the old year leaves, and the optimist stays up to see the new year end. You know, and sometimes we look at life that way. We look at what's going on. But I've got some things to think about this morning. If nothing changes, nothing will happen different. You know, we can't just continue. If we want things to change in our life, we can't continue doing the same thing over and over again, because then that becomes insanity. You know, and sometimes our life gets very insane. And because we continue doing the same thing over and over again, and we expect a different result out of it, and at the end of the year we're like, you know, I need to change some things. And we all need to change some things in our life. Every one of us, you know. If nothing changes, nothing will happen different. If you don't have a plan for the new year, I hope you make one. I really do. I hope you make a plan for the new year. I really think it's a good thing. And, you know, I was listening one time, the great theologian, Oprah, you remember her? You know, she had some, you know, great sayings. I mean, great following, you know. People just look up to her like she's just some prophet, you know. And she said, cheers to the new year and another chance to get it right. You think about that. That almost makes sense, doesn't it? Cheers to the new year and another chance to get it right. You know, I agree with her somewhat here. We're at the beginning of a new year, and we have a chance to change some things that in fact will change our lives. We have a chance to get it right now, or a chance to make things better, always. But it's not just because it's a new year, it's because it's a new day. Amen? You hear me? Just because you got something wrong yesterday doesn't mean you have to get it wrong today or get it wrong tomorrow. Because let me tell you, we're all human and we all get things wrong sometimes. But it doesn't mean we have to get it wrong tomorrow. We can change those things. You follow me? Okay, I hope so. Every year people move out of state. We see that happening, right? They change their jobs. They make a lot of resolutions. They make promises to themselves and to others. And by the end of January, they're in the same place they were when they started. You know, just because you change locations doesn't mean that things change in your life. If you continue doing the same things that you were doing, location, it has nothing to do with it, right? You know, nothing's changed. That's why. And when we do the same thing over and over again, and the same thing or the same in the same way, and we wonder why nothing's different in our life, again, that becomes insanity. And, you know, again, that has nothing to do with location. People can leave this church and go to another church. But if nothing's changed in their heart, if nothing's changed there spiritually, then nothing's changed at all, right? Just location. And that's my point to that. It doesn't matter where you are, except for where you are spiritually in your relationship with God. That's what matters the most. So this morning I want to talk about some things that we can retain, some things that need to be removed, and things that need to be remembered. God's Word and God does not change, for one thing. Some things that are retained, and we need to remember that. God does not change. His Word has not changed. His mission, His purpose that He came to this earth has not changed. It's the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He means what He says, and He will do what He says He will do. So far, you know, I kind of look at the new year. We have to look at our lives, and I have to look at myself and see where we are and at what or who we put our faith in. I mean, where do you put your faith? Where do you put your trust in? Are you a believer looking to the future and saying, you know, I look forward to seeing Jesus. I look forward for His coming. I look forward for the spiritual things of life. You know, I think we should be looking at things through the eyes of God. We do that through the Scripture. We got to look at things through the truth of the Word. We don't have to do things alone through this next year, because we can do it with God on our side. You know, a non-believer is forced to look at the new year through the eyes of the accomplishments and just sheer luck sometimes of things that happen. I'm glad I don't have to look at life like that. I'm glad that I accepted Christ into my life. I'm glad that I don't have to just worry about what I do, that I can rely on God.
Amen.
It's not just about me and my accomplishments. You know, I don't know. Or which one are you? And what are you putting your faith in right now? I mean, that's a question I could ask. We have a checklist that we go through that we check things off. How do we approach this new year that way? Do we write things down that we need to change in our life? Here's the good things in my life, and here's the bad things in my life, and let's go through this every day and check one thing off. I got that one right. I mean, how do we do that? I think we just need to trust God. We just need to put our trust in Him and let Him make those changes, because guess what? We can't change ourselves. We can try, but only God makes those changes that need to be made. He looks at what's inside of us. It's not the outside. Yeah, we can change our clothes. We can change our hair. We can do all those changes, but we can't change what's inside of us. Only God can do that. And no matter how hard we try, we'll never accomplish it unless we put our trust and faith in God and God alone. Many people have asked me, you know, well, I'm just trying to quit smoking. And I've heard that so many times. I'm trying. And I'm trying. I was like, well, until you quit trying and just do it, it'll never happen. You know, and that's really the way it is, you know. I mean, you can try all your life to be a Christian. And all I can say is God is just saying, just quit trying. Put your faith in me and just do it. That's simple as that. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Is that too strong? Am I preaching too strong this morning?
You preach well a lot.
Good. I don't want to get prideful, you know. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great scripture? That's God's plans for us. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here." Amen. That's another really great scripture. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight." That's another great, great scripture to remember. You know, it's easy to look at the new year with the mind of Christ helping us, right? I mean, I want Christ to be in my life. I want Him to help me through it all. Amen? Amen. I do. I think that's a great thing. The future looks brighter when I think about that. I mean, I have hope. I don't worry about things here in this world when I focus on Christ. If we are in Christ, that He desires for us to get a fresh start. He wants to renew us. Amen? Amen? He wants to make us better and mold us into what He wants us to be. He wants that for us. He's the one that takes care of those things within us, those strongholds that we have. But in order for those strongholds to, we do have to make a commitment to Him. You know, we have to want to get rid of that stuff, like I was talking about. If you want to quit something, you just got to quit it. Amen?
Amen.
But you got to let the power of the Holy Spirit working through you to make that happen. Because on our own, we're just weak vessels. We are. We can't accomplish those things on our own. Trusting in the Lord sometimes, though, is very hard. Not because He does not want to help us. It's just because we may not hear from Him on our time. Sometimes we think things ought to just happen like He's just, we rub the lantern and the genie pops out. We ask for our wish and He grants it to us and it's all better. It just doesn't work that way. You know, God is not a genie in a bottle. He's God. He's the creator of all things. I heard one person say it like this. You know, there's, what, 8 billion people in the world? And you think about how many people have already died since creation. Not one have the same fingerprints. I mean, that's the God we serve. That's amazing. What are you looking at, 16 billion, 20 billion people? And not one person is the same. That's the amazing God that we serve. You guys got quiet on that one. I don't know. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." I like that. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" He says. "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams and in the wastelands." I think about the wastelands and the wilderness and the streams. It seems like that we go through in our life sometimes. And He says, guess what? I'm making a way for you. I'm making a path for you. I'm going to open it up. And I'm going to make a way for you. And these, forget about the past. Because we want to dwell on the past. And sometimes, you know, Satan does it to me. There's times that I'm trying to pray. I'm trying to study. And I'm thinking about things in the past. And I'm thinking, you know, I got to quit thinking about that junk in the past. I got to stop thinking about that. And you know, but we can because we have a Savior that's already defeated Satan. Jesus, He just says, just get away from me, Satan. Depart from me. You know, get away. The past is done. I can't change that. It's done. I'm not that person anymore. That's not who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen? Old things have passed away. I'm not that person any longer. So just get away and leave me alone. And we have to remember that. And I love this scripture in Isaiah. It says, forget those former things and don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on that junk in your life. I am doing a new thing in you. And let's remember that this year. God is doing a new thing in each one of us this year. I look forward to that. You know, there's a song by Elevation Worship called Do It Again. You ever heard that song? Do It Again. Man, it's a good song. It says, walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Wanting to change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands great in your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, and this is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. I love the words of that song. And some of these songs that you hear, you think are crazy, you know, because of the music. Read the words. Because they're very passionate. Very, very passionate words. You know, your attitude determines your outcome. You know that? Your attitude will determine your outcome. And I know that those are things that we all have to work on. I have to work on my attitude sometimes. I get a little bit like, you know what I'm saying? Do I have to say it without saying it? Sometimes I get a little grouchy. Sometimes I get little things I want my way and they're not my way. You know, I want things to happen. I want everybody to be happy.
Amen.
When people aren't happy, it makes me aggravated, and then I'm, you know. But that attitude does affect the outcome. Usually people don't end up happy when you get grumpy and things like that, right? That's things I have to work on. Where's your place in... Where your place, your faith will be where you draw your strength from. You know, where we put our faith at, that's where our strength comes from. And, you know, some people will carry in this new year songs of praise, and some people will carry into this new year the same old junk that they were involved in last year. And you know, I want us to be that person that's putting the past in the past and looking at the future with a new attitude that God is going to do something amazing, right? I want God to do something amazing right now. Amen? That's my attitude this morning. You know, I want God to do something amazing right now. And I want to live that way every day. I want that in my life. And I don't want to forget what God has done for me, though. I don't want to forget that. But I got to forget those former things of life. I got to forget those things that held me back from that right relationship with God. And I need to change those things. Where I put my faith is important. And that's where I draw my strength. I get out in my little garage. I love to get out and tinker on stuff, you know, and I've said this before. I'm really bad about having 14 projects going and none of them done, you know. It's easy to do. And so, you know, so you're working on this, and then all of a sudden it's like there's a squirrel, and you're over here working on something else, and you know, then nothing gets done. But... I draw my strength. I like to listen to good preaching. I really do. I like to listen to the Word of God. And when I'm listening to the Word of God, it seems to keep me focused. It does. I mean, it takes my ADD and it makes it better, right? And so, you know, it seems I can focus more. And... I think that's by design. Can I say it like that? Does that make sense? When we get into the Word of God, when we focus on Him, it makes things better. It brings things to understanding. It makes things more focused, I guess what you could say. The only resolution I want to make for this next year is that I will serve God more. And that I will draw closer to Him, closer than I've ever been before. That's the resolution that I want to make. You know, I thought about making a resolution that I would go to the gym. And then I would work out and I would get more healthy. But I know that, you know, I look at the past and I know what will happen. You know, if you do that, you'll do it for a short time and then it fades away. And sometimes you draw others into that delusion. And you think that that's going to make things better. And sometimes, you know, exercise is not bad. I don't want next year to be just another year. Amen?
Amen.
I want that for not just myself and my family personally. I want that for the church too. I want this next year not just to be another year. I want it to be a year that is an explosion of God's Spirit falling upon this community, this church. I want people's lives to get changed. I want to see people saved. You know, that's my desire this year. Amen? Wouldn't that be something to see? Wouldn't we want? We all want that, right? Mm-hmm. Can we all kind of agree that is something we want to see happen? Can we pray about that this year?
Yes.
Can we pray that lives will get changed and people's hearts will come to Christ?
Amen.
Good. You know, I think those things that we have to retain, remove and remember some things in our life and the things that we should be doing and those things that we need to retain is the purpose of the church. Amen? The purpose of the church. To share the message of Christ. The purpose of the church. To lift each other up. To pray for the one another's. To, you know, there's a whole list of the one another's. Sometime Google that. Google is good for some things. Google the scriptures that refer to the one another's. You'll get a list of things. Pray for one another. Lift each other. Encourage one another. It's an awesome study. So the things we need to retain. As believers, you know, we as believers are to hold on to those things that God has given or that God has ordained for our lives. We need to remember what the Word of God says. We need to hold on to that. We need to retain that. In Paul's final letter to the church at Philippi, he's talking about God's joy in our lives and not being anxious for things that are out of our control. And we are to retain our relationship with the Lord above all things. We studied out of the book of Jude on Wednesday night, and he said, contend for the faith, Jude said. I want you to contend for it, that word contend. We're going to fight for the faith. We're going to do whatever it takes, and we're going to fight through that whole battle, and we're going to fight for the faith. Amen? We have to contend for the faith because this world will tear you apart if you don't rely on Christ. This world will lead you down places that you never thought you would go. Apart from God, the evilness of man, there's no limitations. And we see that in the world today if you just look. You can see how far man can fall from God. You know, things that we just don't understand. We're to have fellowship with believers. Amen? We're to have fellowship with believers and be with people like-minded of faith. And yet we need to also be an impact on this fallen world. There's things we need to stay away from. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's just not good. It's not healthy. It's not that we can't. Paul talks about that. You know, I could do this or I could do that. But it's just not beneficial to my life. It's not a good example that we have to... We need to be a people. We need to be a church that makes an impact on the community. Not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Paul says, finally, my brothers... This is in Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I like that. Think about the positive things. Don't think about all the negative stuff. We like to do that, though. We like to think about the negative stuff. The news. You can't watch the news without thinking negative. You know? So we have to limit our watching the news, right? Some of us do. We need to think about those things that are praiseworthy. You know, like Brother Leonard's granddaughter getting saved. Those are the things that we need to focus on. Those are praiseworthy things. The good things in life. There's also things that need to be removed. Those things that we need to hold on to and retain. But these things that we need to remove, those are the hard ones, right? Removed ever sounds good, especially if a doctor says it. Removed. You know, while we're to hold on to those things that God gives us, we're also to get rid of things that take us away from the things of God. And these sometimes are very hard because life sometimes throws things at us that gets us involved in life more than in the church. And it draws us away from church or draws us away from our relationship with God because we're too busy doing all these other things in life. And it's not necessarily they're bad things. It's just that we get involved in too many things. And it pulls us and drags us and tears us apart, and then we don't have time for God because we got all these other things. And God would want us to take care of our kids. He'd want us to take care of our families. My kid has to be in every sporting event. Now, I'm sorry if that offends you, but what I'm saying is sometimes we have to say enough is enough. Okay? We can't do it all. And especially when it affects our relationship with God. If it doesn't affect your relationship with God, well, then good. Go for it. But if it's dragging you too far, if it's pulling you too many directions, and it's taking you away from your relationship with Christ, and then we have to start thinking, okay, maybe this is not so good. You guys got real quiet then. Paul says it like this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, those are things that I'm sure we have brawlers in here. We have people that have fits of rage, maybe some anger issues. Surely we don't have anybody that slanders anybody around here. He says, along with every form of malice. Get rid of is, you know, that's a strong word, get rid of. That's a pretty strong word. It means to throw out, to discard, to dispose of, not to pick up again. It's like the trash. You know, you take the trash out, you don't want it back in the house, right? You know, bitterness and rage and anger and fighting and slandering and improper living. You know, Paul must have been dealing with a church that was in pretty rough shape. You know? But is that world any different then than it is today? Really? I mean, you know, as we studied in the book of Ecclesiastes where Solomon said, you know, everything that's been done has already been done under the sun. It's not much different. It's not, you know, things of everything that we can think of that's been horrible or anything good that's been done, by humanity has already been done by humanity. But there are times in our lives where we deal with bitterness. There's times that we do deal with rage and anger, and there's sometimes we deal with fighting. Sometimes we deal with slander, and sometimes we deal with improper living. And I'm not talking about out of the believers group. I'm talking about with believers. Okay? And Paul is saying, listen, guys, you need to get rid of that stuff. Okay? Because it's just not proper living for a believer in Jesus. It's not who Jesus was. So you need to work on that. You need to get rid of it. Well, that list could be really big. Malice really kind of sums it all up. What malice means is doing anything that's known to be evil. Anything malicious is really evil. That just opens it up for a large number of things, I guess you could say. So by definition, we have to look at ourselves and say, what would the Lord want me to get rid of? Now only you can answer that. I can answer for myself. I can say, I know what the Lord wants me to get rid of. But you have to look at yourself and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to get rid of? What do you need? What do you need gone out of my life? What's going to make our relationship better? God's the one that takes care of that. God's the one that cleans us up. God's the one that molds us and makes us into what He wants us to be. It's not me. It's not the culture. It's not the world. We can blame that. We can blame our situations. We can blame our past. We can blame our parents. We can blame how we was raised. We can blame the world. We can blame our governor. We can blame all these things, but none of that matters. Does that make sense? It's about what God and you work out. We got to get rid of all that stuff. We have to be careful with all kinds of stuff this year. False doctrines, he talks about, Paul, in that same chapter. Philosophies that go against God's teaching. Boy, there's so much of that going on in this world today. Foolish demands on yourself from others. That was my point to what I was trying to say. Filthy communications. Man, I hear so much of that today. Used to, you never, somebody, you know, would, you never hear people using the language that they do years ago. I mean, yeah, language has been around for a long time, but what I'm saying is, it's just in, like you go to Walmart, maybe people walking around talking on the cell phone, just, I mean, using terrible language, and you're like, it just goes through me. But if any of these things are in our life, his desire is to remove them. He wants to remove them for you. You know, like I said, we can try to do these things. We can try, but it's Him that does that surgery. It's Him that is the great physician that can remove those things. And He does it so tenderly and so graciously and so wonderfully. You know, there's things that's changed in my life. And He's the one that changed those things in my life. The things that bother me, you know, because He bothers Him. The things we need to remember, though, I'll get off all that. Just remember, we do not clean ourselves up. It is Him that cleans us up. Things that we need to remember are the spiritual fullness that we have in Christ. You know, I am overwhelmed at times by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. It just overwhelms me, the joy that I can have even when I don't feel good. The love that I feel when maybe I'm down and depressed. In Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, "So then, just as you have received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving." I love that. We need to remember those things that we're taught. We need to remember those things and retain those things and hold on, because that's what builds us up and strengthens us in the faith. And then we have this overflowing thanksgiving in our hearts. Joshua tells us to build a memorial so that we do not forget what God has done. You remember that after they had crossed over, and Joshua says, "We need to build this memorial," and they stack rocks up. They like to stack rocks, okay? It meant something. And sometimes we need to stack rocks in somewhere that we can remember, you know. I remember what God did for me here. He brought me through that time when I had kidney disease. So I build a stack rocks so that I can look at that and say, I remember that time in my life where God brought me through that. I remember when God saved me. Amen. We stack those rocks as a memorial so that we can remember and not forget those times in our lives that God has blessed us. The silent times when God is quiet, we can learn lessons that He's really still there. Make sure that we remember the things that He has done so that our relationships with Him does not suffer. Knock us off track. Those times that we're quiet, then we can remember those times that He brought us through those moments in our life, is what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't always hear from God when we want to. We rub the bottle and we expect God to pop out, and you know, and it just is like it doesn't happen that way. But during those quiet times, we look back and we remember those things that God has done for us, and we know that He is real. We know that He is faithful, and we know that in His time, He will do a mighty work, as He's always done. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Remember who you are in Christ this next year. Remember who you are in Christ. You know, this year, I don't think time slows down any at all. The older I get, it seems like, bam. I mean, it's already Christmas gone.
Yeah, it's already gone.
It doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem like, you know, this year just it was a flash. And I know next year will seem the same for many of us. And I'll be most likely standing here again in 2024 preaching about new years and new beginnings, and you know, but I want to be preaching about Jesus. Amen. I want to be preaching about the goodness of God. I want to preach about how faithful He is. And no matter what happens this next year, no matter what we go through, no matter what wilderness we have to travel through as an individual, I want you to know God is faithful. God is He is merciful. He loves you, and He will see you through it. Let your prayer today be that whatever God has for you in 2023, that's what you want, and that's what you desire, is what God wants for me in my life. Whatever changes that you need to make, remember that it's you need to make that commitment. It's up to you and God. It's between you two. And God, I pray that God help me to remember the things that He's done and never forget it. Never forget those blessings. Never forget the wonderful things that He's done for me. I know there are things in my life that the Lord would want out of my life. And I know there are things that I need to keep and bring back in my life. And I know there are many things that I need to remember so that I can again praise God for all that He has done for me. If you need that moment this morning, I'm just saying, if you need a moment this morning, then just make that commitment today. You can come and pray at these altars and just make that commitment this morning that God, I'm going to give it to you. This next year, I want what's best for me. I want you to tell me that. I want it to be from you. And I would like for you to take that moment. And I don't want you to leave this morning feeling like you should have come and you didn't. Because I know there's been times in my life where I left knowing I should have. You know. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, I pray in the priceless name of Jesus. Lord, that this next year, Lord, that this next moment, that we would surrender ourselves to You. Lord, that we would make that commitment that, Lord, if there's anything in our lives that needs to be uprooted and removed, Lord, that You and I can work that out. Lord, that this next year is going to be the best year ever because we're going to remember the things that You've done and we're going to forget those former things of life and we're going to focus on the positive things in life, those wonderful blessings that I know that You're going to bring. Lord, let us live in Your presence. Heaven on earth, as You say. Lord, we can live in Your presence while we're here through the Holy Spirit's power. So Lord, let Your Holy Spirit fall upon this place today. Let Your Holy Spirit abound in us today. And let us leave here better than we came. Lord, I praise You. I shout it from the rooftops that You are my Savior. And I am Your servant. So Lord, again, bless us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.